This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave. When we think of the words that capture the spirit of the age, we tend to think of words connected to the future, expressions like telecommuting, cyberspace, or technopop. But as our linguist Jeff Numberg points out, sometimes the words that are most revealing are the ones that signal our changing attitude toward the past, like the new uses of those old words, heritage and tradition.
I was visiting friends in L.A. a couple of weeks ago. I wanted to go to the new Getty Museum, but they said the lines would be too long and took me instead to the Gene Autry Museum of Western Heritage, which opened a couple of years ago in Griffith Park. You'll be surprised, they said, and they were right. They have fine historical exhibits there with appropriate multicultural nods to all the strains that came together in the Old West, conquistadors, Comanches, cowboys, and all the rest. It was only the name of the museum that gave me pause. In fact, the word heritage seems to have completely replaced history in the names of museums. There's an American Air Power Heritage Museum in Midland, Texas, a Motorcycle Heritage Museum in Westerville, Ohio, and an Anthracite Heritage Museum in Scranton. Not to mention a Jewish Heritage Museum in Atlanta, a Nordic Heritage Museum in Seattle, and heritage museums in other cities for Hungarians, Czechs, Irish Americans, Native Americans, Italian Americans, African Americans, and women. Actually, this heritage stuff all began in Britain, where the campaign to exploit historical monuments and stately homes has spawned what the critic Robert Hewison described as the heritage industry. Over the past few years, though, we've been playing catch-up with a vengeance, and not just in the names of museums. Do a web search on the word heritage, and you'll find sites for the McDonald's Heritage Bowl, Native American Heritage Collectibles, Heritage Glassware, Heritage Gift Baskets, and, of course, the Heritage Foundation, that bastion of the American right. The best take on the meaning of the word, though, might come from all the outfits that advertise what they call heritage furniture, including one that claims many of our pieces are replicas of actual family heirlooms. Replicas of actual family heirlooms, that seemed right on for the general sense of the word, though in the case of museums, you might want to change it to replicas of actual families. At least when ethnic groups and nationalities talk about heritage, they're looking at the past the way a wealthy family looks at its ancestors, as a source of trust accounts to line its pockets and distinguished portraits to line its walls. It's a relentlessly upbeat word, which leaves no place for the possibility that our ancestors might have been rapacious or stupid or just plain incomprehensible to us. There's no sense there that the past might be another country. It's just a long, Whiggish progression as the world got ready for us. Maybe this is what people are getting at when they talk about the end of history. Either we mine it for the mantelpiece souvenirs that we can label as heritage, or we flatten it into anonymous folklore. That's what's happened with the word traditional. Traditional used to apply to things that have been handed down orally with no known source or author, ballads, quilt designs, pumpkin pie recipes. But then about 40 years ago, people started to apply the adjective to things like houses, furniture, and weddings. Traditional here doesn't actually have much to do with the older sense of the term. It's more just a way of evoking nostalgia for some imaginary pre-modern idol of American middle-class life. When people say they grew up in a traditional house, you can be sure they're not talking about the shacks or tenements that most of our ancestors actually lived in. Nor, for that matter, are they talking about a Southwest-style adobe dwelling, say, even though the roots of that style go pretty deep in American soil. Odds are they have in mind a Cape Cod or Tudor-style tract house that was thrown up by a developer sometime in the 20s or 30s and was furnished in that pastiche of New England and French provincial chairs and bedroom sets that goes by the name of traditional furniture. As it happens, it was just about the same time that people started talking about traditional houses and furniture that they started talking about notions like traditional values and the traditional family. In fact, those are just names for the way we imagine things were around those colonial-style dinner tables of those traditional houses, a world where everything was clear and straightforward, with no moral problem so vexed you couldn't set it straight in a 10-minute heart-to-heart with Spencer Tracy or Lewis Stone. Traditional smooths out the wrinkles of social history in exactly the same way it smooths out the differences between chair legs. Of course, historians have always tailored their tales to the times, but I don't know that any age has ever been as efficient about the process as we are. Our predecessors merely rewrote history. We're doing away with it altogether. It makes you long for a time when peoples did their forgetting more traditionally. As Marguerite Yourcenar once said, we always rebuild monuments in our own way, but we ought to try to use the original stones.
Jeffrey Nunberg is usage editor of the American Heritage Dictionary and a linguist at the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.